بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين، صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, with the father and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we discussed last week with the importance of discharging our zakat and performing our five times daily salat. We had discussed that in some detail. And then we explained the importance of turning our day into night, meaning we should be spending and devoting our time in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as in the night, person supplicates and makes the hajj or salat, does not mean during the day we'll read namaz the entire day, but we should be focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how we should be rectifying ourselves and ensuring everything we are doing is in accordance with Allah ta'ala's commandments. Muslims have to be diligent in paying attention to their prayer so that they can get nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Misfortune can befall so suddenly, if Allah ta'ala becomes angry, that it will stun the believer. The soul will be robbed of all peace and happiness, and the individual will be left in constant despair. So we should not take things for granted. A person's heart must not reach the stage of ghaflat. It has to be always connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A little slip we make here and there, we turn again. Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses from His servants who He wishes to choose for Himself and to draw them closer. But Allah gives hidayah to that person who Himself, He is repentant, He is penitent. May yunib, he is turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala guides him. So it is important that we should be constantly devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It must not happen that some bala comes, some sickness comes, some accident, some misfortune, and then when it strikes a person, and then he doesn't have any opportunity now turning to Allah Ta'ala, what happens? The result will be, this soul of his is robbed of all peace, all happiness. Many times a person, because of some ghaflat in his life, and then when disaster strikes, he feels so miserable. That ruh that he had, that soul, all the enjoyment is gone. Everything disappears. There's no happiness left in his life. And he's left in constant despair. Allah Ta'ala has given the Muslims good health. Allah has given them beauty. So we need to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best way of making shukr is the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's pleasure is everything. Agar tu razi, then everything becomes ours. If Allah Ta'ala is razi, then the asman and zameen, everything becomes ours. If Allah Ta'ala is naraz, every single thing will turn against us. Everything will turn against us. The own family members will turn against the person. Wife and children, people at work, those people who are friends suddenly become foes and enemies. The person just says, I do not know what's happening. It's just disaster after disaster. Just misfortune after misfortune. Now if you look at the root problem, we have gone wrong somewhere. So let us try and find the root of the problem. And we find that we are not making the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment we make our ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct, then Allah Ta'ala will make everything else in this world become easy for us. But if this connection to Allah Ta'ala is shaky, then all other things become difficult for us in this world. وَمَن يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِن مُكْرِمٍ. If Allah has to humiliate, disgrace any person, then no being in this world can grant honor to that person. Why? Because Allah has disgraced that person. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. So Allah Ta'ala's pleasure is everything. Allah Ta'ala says, وَرِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. The pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, that is the greatest. Nothing greater than that. When Allah becomes razi, and Allah becomes pleased. That is the ultimate success. That is the greatest of success. Nothing greater than that. If he casts a glance of mercy anywhere, then springtime shines anew, and consequently, if he withdraws his mercy, harsh winter growls. We explained this last week. If Allah Ta'ala just a little bit of his mercy, rahmat, is casted on any person, you find many muzghanidin, ya Allah, we just want your glance of mercy. That is sufficient for us. It will help us in dunya, qabr and akhirat. Why? The mercy is coming from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The little bit of tajalli Allah ta'ala casted on the Mount Tur, and the whole Mount Tur came crumbling into pieces, and Musa alayhi salatu salam, such a powerful Nabi, he fell down unconscious. There is a little bit of tajalli Allah ta'ala casted of himself onto the mountain. When Allah ta'ala's little mercy comes on us, then the person immediately he'll find the noor in his heart. And he'll change his direction. But if Allah moves his mercy away, what will be the condition of the person? On the day of Qiyamah, there are groups of people who have been mentioned in the ahadith, different categories of people, whom Allah ta'ala won't talk to them. Allah ta'ala won't talk to them, meaning Allah won't talk to them kindly. Allah ta'ala will be angry with them. ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. People whom Allah ta'ala, one hadith says three types of people. So in different ahadith, different people have been mentioned. Where Allah ta'ala won't talk to them nicely. Allah won't look at them with a nazar rahmat, with a merciful glance. Allah will look at them, but not at a merciful glance. It will be an angry look. And Allah will not forgive them. Allah will not pardon them on the day of Qiyamah. For such people is a very painful punishment. May Allah ta'ala protect us. So one glance of Allah's mercy in this dunya, it will suffice us, dunya, qabr and akhirat. And if Allah has to withdraw his mercy, if Allah has to turn away his merciful glance, then the person is doomed. So to gain this merciful glance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one has to be obedient to Allah Rabbul Izzat. One has to make constant tawbah, istighfar. One has to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To sincere repentance and valuable time, Hazrat Mawlana Zulfiqar Sahib Dhamud Barakatuh mentioned, the purpose of arranging and coming to gatherings of deen is that we may listen to valuable talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever time has already passed is gone. But these gatherings provide priceless opportunities to repent from past sins and change one's life around so that one may start fresh on a new path of following the Quran and Sunnah. And that is the maqsad of these gatherings. So he has mentioned, such gatherings provide an opportunity for new starting points again and again. People need to be firm in their commitments, not to revert to their past lives, because they will be the losers if their future lives are spent in the same heedlessness as before. Many of us, we say, you know, our past is terrible. It is like though, as though we are living in the time of Jahiliyyah. People see my Jahiliyyah time. Now when Allah gives us the tawfiq, when Allah gives us that opportunity, Allah gives us a chance to start fresh, a new, fresh start. Now when we come onto track, then we should not go back to the same old habits of the past. That is where we got to be very careful now. وَيَخْشَ اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقِّهِ. These are the two words mentioned in the Quran. That the person fears Allah Ta'ala regarding his past, he makes tawbah, istighfar, he cries over the past. And again, many people ask, that I think of those sins of the past and I've made tawbah, istighfar, but it keeps on haunting me. No, when a person makes genuine tawbah, istighfar over gunas, where he has abandoned that sin, he has shown nadamat, regret, and he's promised Allah he won't go back to those sins, and he's not going back to those sins, now don't be worried and perturbed, because those are wasawis of shaitan, trying to bring back that memory and make you feel lose hope and helpless again. So when you made tawbah sincerely, inshallah Allah has accepted. Now you worry about the future. وَيَتَّقْهِ. Now the person has to have taqwa,
and he has to ensure that he does not fall into the same abyss and same hole again of sin. The same oil patch he must not skid. The same barriers that brought him, pushed him back, he must avoid those barriers now. He must be watchful. He must be vigilant. This is taqwa now. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala had asked a sahabi, Ubay bin Ka'ab, I think radiallahu ta'ala, what is taqwa? He said, when a person goes through a jungle where the tree is full of thorns and he is so watchful that he picks up his garment, his kurta, so that no thorn may catch onto his garment, and like this he makes his way out of that forest. Like that now the person has to be very careful, very mindful. Allah has given him a chance. He must make so much shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala gave him that opportunity. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ Allah guides that person. Allah guides the person who makes inabat ila Allah, who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Hazrat Murhan has mentioned, if a person now goes and reverts to the same way of life, then he will be a true loser. ذَلِكَ وَالْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ Nafs and shaitan are enemies always. There is one fact we should remember from now right till Qiyamah. Nafs and shaitan, these are our enemies, seeking an opportunity to attack. Many times, after some time, we perform a lot of ibadat, etc., then we feel that now, nafs and shaitan won't be able to attack us. No, this is incorrect. Nafs and shaitan will continue attacking us, yes. It is not necessary that they will overpower us if we have become true dhakirin and shakirin and those who are making the ita'at of Allah, Allah protects them. But they will keep on launching attacks. They will try the level best right till the last moments of the person. Again, the famous story of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, we have heard the story. But right till that point where shaitan is trying to mislead him. And shaitan is saying, yes, you have passed and you have got out of my clutches and you are successful. He say, la, la, la. Not as yet, not as yet, not as yet. Until I don't leave this world with iman, I am not successful. So nafs and shaitan are enemies always seeking an opportunity to attack. Hence, we should always seek Allah Ta'ala's protection so as not to fall into the delusion and trap. And this is the meaning of وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي This nafs will keep on prompting us, commanding us with evil, except that person whom Allah has mercy upon. When Allah's mercy is shamil with the person, it is with the person is enveloped with Allah's mercy, no matter how little it may be, that will suffice the person, and he will be protected from the attacks of nafs and shaitan. So Hazrat Mona said, sincere repentance and valuable time, importance of time, there will be no time after mort for righteousness, and the person who wasted his time in this world would realize that he or she should have filled his account rather than pursuing the delusions of the temporal world. Crying and worrying would be of no benefit in the grave, for the world would be gone, and so would be the time this person had been given to work for the hereafter. Every passing day is an opportunity for accumulating righteous deeds that will never come again. The righteous recognize this and spend their time wisely in worship and righteous deeds so they can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and draw nearer to Him. In return, Allah ta'ala illuminates their hearts and lives in their journey towards Him. There are books upon books written about the lives of the Salafi Salihin, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, tabi'in, the awliya of Allah, how they spend their time in this world. And when we read those stories, I promise you, it is such stories that we cannot imagine that they actually underwent such sacrifices for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such lengthy ibadat and salat they would make. There are stories of people, buzughana deen, pious servants of Allah, who for 40 years did not sleep at night like how we would sleep in a comfortable bed. The person says for 40 years, his khadim would say, that this Buzurg, this friend of Allah, for 40 years his side did not even touch the ground at night. Why? He was engaged in ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would shed tears, they would cry, they would repent. The night was precious to them. They would look forward for the coming of the night. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the famous story regarding her. It was a long wintry night in which she stood up to offer 2 rakats of salat. It was night, probably after Isha. Then she started reading 2 rakats. She made niyat for 2 rakats. And when she started these 2 rakats, she reciting Surah Fatiha and some surah of the Holy Quran. She was immensely enjoying every moment of her salat. And thus, she recited long, long, long surahs. Now can we picture this? Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. It's a cold night. She has made niyat for 2 rakat namaz. And now she commenced her salat. And now she is in communion with Allah Rabbul Izzat. And she is so taken away in the salat of hers that when she finally sat down at-tahiyyat and she made her salam and she finished her 2 rakats, she glanced up to see that it was already time for suhoor, zahri. Whole night she was engaged in this 2 rakat salat. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala started weeping. And she said in dua, in supplication, O Allah, your nights are so short that I only made intention for 2 rakats and the night has already passed. Imagine, 2 rakats, she was engrossed, absorbed in this 2 rakat, that she found the night was short. She didn't even feel this night went past. Such righteous women used to complain that the nights were too short for the ibadat. What do we complain? The night was too short. Her enjoyment of dunya. If there's some party, some function, the night went away so fast. We still wanted to have more fun, more entertainment. The condition of the Muslims, in stark contrast to the above, the sad condition of the Muslims today is that they are not fast asleep all night. If they are not fast asleep all night, they are sitting in front of the television till late into the night. And not only the television, the WhatsApp and other social media. The obvious unfortunate result is that they sleep through Fajr when the rest of Allah Ta'ala's chosen creation is awake. Subhanallah. We must make dua that we must become the chosen ones of Allah Rabbul Izzat. We must be the maqbool bandas of Allah. The mahbub bandas of Allah. The beloved ones of Allah. Those who have been accepted by Allah. Those who have been chosen by Allah Ta'ala. Those who have been handpicked by Allah. How fortunate Sahaba were. They were selected by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to be the companions of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You and I were also selected by Allah to be the ummatis of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now we must make dua, Allah, you make us amongst those chosen bandas of yours who are muqarrab to you. Who have got that qurb. Who are mahbub, who are your beloved. So we need to reflect and take account of our lives so that we may rectify ourselves. We may rectify ourselves. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala used to say that we should take stock of ourselves before the day of Qiyamah comes when Allah Ta'ala takes our reckoning. When Allah Ta'ala will take stock of our a'mal. Before that, we should take stock of our own a'mal, our own lives. So as Mawlana had mentioned, the woman among the righteous, Salafi Salihin, was so motivated that they would compete with each other in the righteous deeds. Rabia Basriya rahmatullahi alayha, we have heard her name many times, she was this great sage, she was the waliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One night after praying tahajjud, Hazrat Rabia Basriya rahmatullahi alayha, she raised her hands and she supplicated, Oh Allah, night has fallen and the stars are out. The kings of the world have closed their doors. But your door is always open. Oh Allah, I beg of your mercy. I beg you of your mercy. Namatil Muluk. All the kings are asleep. وَغَلَّقُوا أَبْوَابَهُمْ وَأَغْلَقُوا أَبْوَابَهُمْ They have closed the doors. وَلَمْ يَبْقَ إِلَّا بَابُ الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَمْ يَنَمْ But the door of that being, that ذات who is حي and قيوم, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his doors are never closed. Never. Every other king, every other president, ruler, his doors are closed. Certain hours at night, they are closed. If you need to see him, you'll have to wait outside till the next morning when he is time to come, his office hours. And that too, if he's got no other appointment, or he's not gone out, or he's not busy, or he's not relaxing. In the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his doors are open wide all the time. All the time. Whenever a person wants to turn to Allah, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he wants to raise his hands, the doors of Allah ta'ala are open. Then Hazrat Maulana had digressed a bit, and he mentioned because of speaking about dua and time of maqbooliyat, when you make dua, and du'as, there is a time when du'as are answered. This is the time when Allah Ta'ala readily accepts the person's du'a. So we have to make du'a and hope you get that particular moment. Sometimes it is that moment of du'a. We do not know that it is a maqbool time and we make a du'a and the du'a is answered. Therefore, we have to be very careful what du'a we make. He says, when the supplications of mothers would be accepted and granted, because the people of the past, the pious Salafi Salihin, the Salihat, how we did, that they would make such ibadat, and what du'as they would make, that the heavens would move. They would move the heavens by the du'a. So then he says, we'd find that they would get such sons and such children, would grow up to be Muhammad bin Qasim, rahmatullahi alayhi. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, Sultan Mahmud rahmatullahi alayhi, and such should be the power of du'as of the mothers that will propel the offspring to success. He says, today, mothers have forgotten their true status. Girls become mothers, but are strangers to a mother's high position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If busy in her chores, and her innocent child cries out, she is quick to become angry and she curses. It may have been better if the child were dead, she says. This poor mother is unaware that the doors to Allah Ta'ala's court open to everything she says, and her supplications as well as her curses are presented before Allah Ta'ala. Moreover, she is oblivious of the fact that her supplications and curses are equally potent, and that her life will be totally destroyed if Allah Ta'ala accepts and grants even one of her misspoken curses. Supplication, du'as of parents surround and protect the child from harm. Elders have written, when the mother of a great sage passed away, the mother of one wali of Allah passed away, so this wali of Allah, he felt an inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He felt some ilham. Allah Ta'ala inspired him with some thought. What is it? Be careful where you tread now. Be careful where you tread now. For the one whose prayers protected you is no longer on this earth. As long as the parents were alive, they were making dua for the child. So Allah Ta'ala used to protect this child. Now, when the parent has passed away, nobody making dua. So even though you may be an adult, a grown-up person, you require the dua of your parents. As the Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullahi, I remember he mentioned, when he was talking about the rights of the parents, he said, when either one of the parents passes away, then realize one door of duas being accepted is now closed. Your parents make dua for you, the dua is accepted. Da'watu walidin li waladi. Comes in the hadith of Rasulullah. And if both your parents leave this world, then both your doors which you had, there are other doors, but these two main doors of du'as being readily answered for you, is now no longer there. Therefore, value the du'as of your parents when they are alive. Value the du'as of your parents as long as they are alive. The day they leave this world, those doors are closed. And then he mentioned a mother's curse. An innocent child was crying once, and in anger its mother cursed it, that it would have been better if the child was dead. Allah Ta'ala became angry at hearing this, and accepted the mother's curse, but did not call the child back to him right away. Mother, angry, she said some bad words, Allah Ta'ala, I wish you was dead. I wish Allah Ta'ala took you away. Now it is important for us to think and ponder. This is why hifazat of our zuban. And one of the reasons, mothers and sisters are also listening to the program, one of the reasons that the people, the inmates of Jahannam, one hadith is mentioned, it is more women because they curse a lot. They curse a lot. Every small thing, they want to curse. So even men folk have to be very careful, and we have to make complete hifazat of our tongues. Generally, the mothers are nurturing the children. So yeah, there are times definitely that these children, they become very, very demanding, they keep on troubling the mother. She loses her sabr and patience. But when the mother loses her patience, instead of spanking the child and cursing the child, so in that anger even though if you're angry, make good du'as for the child. Not difficult. Instead of saying, I wish you was dead, see, I wish Allah Ta'ala makes you the greatest wali of their time. That du'a is far better. Now look at this mother, she said, I wish you was dead. Now Allah Ta'ala is not bound by any time. This is another whole topic on its own. Many times we make some du'a, and we want to see instant results. Allah Ta'ala is not bound by time. Time is in the control of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is not under time. Allah Ta'ala is not under any obligation. Allah doesn't have to see keep up to any certain fixed time. No. We are human beings. We are bound by time. We have a time frame, a time plan. We have a fixed time in this world. Allah Ta'ala is ever living. There's no question of Allah Ta'ala being bound by time, that He has to produce some effect immediately, no. And Allah's wisdom and Allah's knowledge, infinite knowledge of the unseen, we don't have that knowledge. So Allah Ta'ala accepted the du'a, but Allah Ta'ala did not call this child immediately. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not cause this child to die at that moment. Allah Ta'ala waited for some time. This boy grew up to be the apple of his parents' eyes and a peace to their hearts, who captured the admiration of all around him, just as a farmer picks the fruit when it is fully ripened. Allah Ta'ala chose to wait until this boy was in his full prime, and then Allah Ta'ala took his life away. Now the same mother who cursed her child before, she grieves for the son she had lost. But this is the fulfillment of that same curse that she had wished in anger upon her innocent child so long ago. The boy was taken in his prime so that the mother can realize her grave error with maximum pain. So many mothers make the fatal mistake of not thinking when they are angry. So curses come out of their mouth and spend the rest of their lives in pain and suffering when the curse comes true in front of their eyes. All this would be avoided if the mother knew her true status and the value of her dua. She should realize that if she prays regularly and prays for a child's success, Allah Ta'ala will raise that son to incredible heights. My respected brothers and elders, and of course our mothers and sisters listening at home, learn to make good du'as for our family members, for our children especially. Make good du'as for them. Today we have become so conjuice, that even our du'as, we're scared to give somebody a good du'a. We might as well have our du'as as well. Our own children read the du'a every day, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Inshallah, inshallah, you will find that your wives, or the spouse, and the children, all will become muttaqeen. They will become the coolness of your eyes. The wife and children will become the coolness of the husband's eyes. But we don't make these du'as. These are du'as taught to us by Rasulullah SAW. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this du'a in the Quran Sharif. So make good du'as for our children. So instead of becoming angry and cursing the child, say, even if the mother is upset, say, may Allah Ta'ala make you the greatest wali of your time. May Allah Ta'ala make you a pious servant. Allah Ta'ala give you excellent akhlaq. May Allah give you the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Make those du'as. Nowadays people delude themselves into the false hope that they have plenty of life remaining to worship later while they enjoy the present. This is a very dangerous attitude and delusion, since death can come at any time. Many a time the young have had to be buried before the old. One with incredible insight, as Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has written, that death is so close at all times that the cloth for one's coffin might already have come into the market, but the person is oblivious of how close death is. People have forgotten death, but death has not forgotten them. People have forgotten death, but death has not forgotten them. Rasulullah had mentioned, we discussed this, he says, if I make salam on the right hand side, I have no guarantee that I'll be able to make salam on the left hand. Maut can strike at that time also. So Imam Ghazali says, rahmatullahi, that the person's kafan is already in the marketplace, ready to be purchased. In other words, maut is right at your doorstep, and the person is still so ghafil, he does not know. Rasulullah said that the grave beckons the individual 70 times daily, warning that it is a lonely, dark house full of insects. It further warns man to fully prepare before coming, lest he be punished. But unfortunately, man is lost in the false attraction of this world and blind to the hereafter. Today we remain ignorant of essential everyday rules and regulations. So things of dunya, rules and regulations of dunya, we remember those things. But we are too lazy to research ourselves or to ask the appropriate authorities and the appropriate people regarding the islah of our own selves. Muslim might acquire knowledge if they are to know how to please Allah Ta'ala and remain on the straight path, so they may avoid punishment and doom in the grave and the hereafter. It is mentioned about a sahabiyah radiallahu ta'ala anha who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, I have come representing the other woman folk. The woman have sent me to represent them, and I've got a very important question to ask. Rasulullah said, no problem, what's the question? So she said, the men folk surpass us in deeds and rewards all the time. They sit and pray with you in the masjid. They fight in the battle and they go to the graveyard to participate in the funeral prayers, whereas we stay at home and miss out on these opportunities to earn reward. How can we excel in such circumstances? You see, even the sahabiyat, they wanted to beat the sahaba, the men also, in reward. The wife wanted to excel, she wanted to beat the husband and surpass him in rewards. They had this razbat, great longing for akhirat, and they wanted to gain the full pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They wanted to score maximum in the ibadat and sawab for the different ibadat. The sahabi could not tolerate himself, or she could not tolerate herself lagging behind and everybody else going so far ahead. The whole question of Laylatul Qadr came about when the sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, they had gone to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we heard in the month of Ramadan that, ya Rasulullah, the people of the past should make such, they had such long lives and so much of ibadat, what about us? And that is when Laylatul Qadr fazilat came down, that 80 years of ibadat sawab will get just by making ibadat that one night. So they always try to excel the other in towards the akhirat, not for dunya. So this was the concern. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to what Mawlana has mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised the questioner for asking such a good question. And he replied, the woman who prays in her home earns the same reward as a man who prays in the masjid. That woman who prays at home, she earns the same reward as a man who prays in the masjid. And then he said, the mother who stays awake at night for the sake of a hungry or sick child earns the same reward as a mujahid who stays awake at night during the battle keeping a watch. He's watching that no enemy must attack. So the entire night he is staying awake. The others are sleeping and resting. He's awake. So that whole night he's actually sacrificing not only his sleep, his comfort, but perhaps even his life if the enemy has to strike. So like that, such a great sawab it is, this mother who stays awake at night for the sake of a hungry or sick child earns the same reward. Brothers, does not mean husband must be fast asleep and they must not assist the wife, no. Many women folk ask this question, that now we have got young children and we are unable to do so much of extra nafil ibadat. We recite Quran, but the mamula that we have, and to be able to read so much, so many paras a day, and so many tasbihat, and so much of dhikr, and so many du'as, and all the surahs, it's become difficult, because I've got not one child, another baby, or two children, or three children, and sometimes by the time I finish with them, or even as they're growing and finishing with their schoolwork, etc., I'm so tired, I'm unable to fulfill all the mamulat I have, and all the tasbihat. So far no brother asked me that question. Only ladies ask these questions. You can see who's scoring the real sawab. So for them you say no. Looking after your children and making the tarbiyat correctly, that is your ibadat. Doesn't mean you must forgo your mamulat, but if you're unable to do so much, then you must reduce it. Recite a few times tasbihat. Read one tasbih of la ilaha illallah or subhanallah 33 times. 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. This will vary. It's not a fixed thing for one particular person, depending on the person and how much strength and time, etc. the person has. The point is that it is important for them to give the attention to the child, especially when the child is small. Now if you leave the child in the hands of some other person, especially if the person is not a Muslim, and you expect that person to make the tarbiyat of the child, then this is a very serious thing, because the child will not be nurtured with true ruhaniyat. Instead of making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the child will be singing songs. The child will start dancing. Really? People have written. Because the child is left with some other person who is a non-Muslim or the neighbor or plays with the neighbor's children. And the child has picked up vulgar language. And in our house nobody uses this language. Or the child has brought about this habit in him. So it is important that the mother makes the full tarbiyat of a child. Of course, the father has to assist. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. All these things, respected brothers and elders, it is taqwa. Hazrat Mawlana had mentioned that we need to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to have this taqwa, this piety. So many times, we find that if we are going to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we'll have no dunya coming to us. We'll become poor. We won't be able to fulfill our dunya needs. No. Nobody is saying a person must not see to his dunya. But the important thing is focus always, gaze always where? Towards the akhirat. That is why we have been created. We have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the akhirat. So in dunya we forget what I was explaining. وَيَخْشَى اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقْهِ. Therefore for future life, past we made tawbah istighfar. Now future we are very, very careful. Which path, how we treading this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Who fears Allah, Allah will make an opening for him from every and any difficulty. Any difficulty. Any problem, financial problem, domestic problem, social problem, whatever the problem is. If you fear Allah, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. This is the words of Allah. Allah says, Allah will make an opening for him. And would that Allah says, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah will provide for him from unseen sources. Even though your problem must have not been a financial problem, you may have had a social problem, some domestic problem, but would that Allah will give you rozi as well. So rozi comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of Allah find sustenance from the same source. The people of Allah, friends of Allah, the waliis of Allah, they find sustenance from the same source as the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, and they receive lovingly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as a devoted father cares for his child. Allah ta'ala opens his vast treasures for them. This is the promise of Allah. وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi wrote a nice story regarding the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person has taqwa, how Allah provides for him from unseen sources. A young man said to his brothers that he would readily forsake his share of the inheritance to them if he could solely be left with the responsibility of caring for his parents. Subhanallah. Maybe we didn't hear it correctly. I will repeat it. A young man said to his brothers that he, this young man, would readily forsake his share of the mirath, the inheritance, if they allow him to make the khidmat of the father. Father was sick. Let me make khidmat of the father, and I must be solely in charge of and take the responsibility of a father to look after him. You are absolved of it. And in lieu of that, my share of the inheritance you take it away. Subhanallah. They agreed. Who won't agree? The brothers readily agreed to this. Young man served, tended to his parents very devoutly until the day came and they passed away. One night he saw in a dream in which a voice told him that he would find 100 dinars under a particular stone because of his service to his parents. He asked if the money would have Allah's barakat in it. The voice said no, so he declined to accept. The next morning he told his wife about his dream. I don't know if you tell you what the wife will say. The next morning he told his wife about his dream. She advised him to go check for the money, even if he was not going to take it. However, he refused, since he was firmly against this idea. The next night he heard a voice in his dream telling him of 10 dinars under a particular stone. Dinar is a gold coin that he still had the chance to take as a reward for his service to his parents. He asked the same question again. Will there be any barakat in this? Again, the reply was no, so he declined to go and take those dinars. Third night, the voice said there was just 1 dinar under the stone, and this was his final chance to take it. The young man again asked if the dinar would have Allah's blessings, and at this time, the voice said yes. Hence, the next morning, he eagerly took the dinar from under the stone. While walking home, he decided to buy something in the market for his wife to cook. Respected brothers and sisters, for us, it may seem as a fairy tale. There's not one example like this. There are hundreds of examples mentioned in the kitabs. Genuine, authentic stories. And so Thani Rahmatullah is narrating the story. So he says this person takes that 1 dinar from under the stone, and whilst walking home, he decided to buy something in the market for his wife to cook. And thus he brought a fish home with him. As his wife was cleaning the fish, she finds a precious jewel inside. So they take this jewel, and when they value this jewel, it was sufficient for them to live comfortably for the rest of their life. Such are the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, that He grants sustenance through avenues that people cannot possibly conceive. Today, people pursue careers in engineering, medicine, as Hazrat Mawlana Zulfiqar Ahmad has mentioned, whatever profession, because they feel that they cannot possibly sustain themselves if they pursue a lifetime of pleasing Allah Ta'ala as a scholar, as an alim, or a hafiz of the Quran. This is an unfortunate delusion, because one cannot possibly find even one example where a true practicing alim or hafiz ever died from hunger or poverty. Sustenance comes from Allah Ta'ala, who will never fail those who serve and obey Him. This way of thinking is ridiculous. It is a delusion from shaitan. It is frequently the other way around. One often hears of others who have completed high degrees, but have ended their lives in dire poverty and hunger. Allah Ta'ala save us. There's a very nice story of Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. His real name was Yaqub. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi had many students. But some of his students were very famous, like Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Zufar rahmatullahi alayhi. These people's names you find in the books of jurisprudence in fiqh. So Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi was a youngster. And he came into the circles of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi realized that this youngster is very, very intelligent. So he gave him his special attention. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi came from a very poor family. Very poor family. Some narrations say, some people have stories written, that either his father or his mother, they were not too happy with the idea that he's going and sitting in the gathering of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi and wasting his time acquiring knowledge there. He needs to go out and assist the father. He needs to go out and work and earn some livelihood. He has to learn some trade so that when he grows, he'll be self-sufficient. And when he grows, the niyat was good, but not at the expense of acquiring knowledge. They felt that acquiring knowledge is going to waste his time. Instead of that, he'd rather go and work, and he can gain some profession, some degree, and he can gain sufficient money. He can acquire his own earnings. So in some kitab it has been mentioned, when he should come to the masjid of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi's halaqa, the father would come and pull him out. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi went and he spoke to the parents. Father, parents said, no, we are poor people. You have been blessed by Allah, you are very rich. You can afford to sit in the masjid. We are poor, this child of ours has to go and earn a livelihood, he must learn some trade. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi asked the father, how much does he require a day? So he said, 2 dinars or 2 dirhams, whatever it was. He said, no problem. He gives him a whole bag of coins. He said, bas, this child does not have to work. I will see now to the needs of this child. Let him stay with me. And in one kitab is mentioned that the mother, she had become very angry with Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, that you are wasting my child's efforts and his time. He should be working. So he said, let this child sit here. He'll become an alim, a scholar, a faqih. And the day will come when the king will sit next to him. And this child of yours will be eating desserts made of pistachio and almonds. She became even more upset. What nonsense you're talking about? This child got no food to eat. He hasn't even seen any king. And you are talking about the day when the king will sit next to him. And he'll be enjoying some desserts. Halwa. Nonetheless, this Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi was given some money. Parents probably got happy then. And he stayed in the company of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. And within a short period of time, Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with such knowledge. There have been narrations regarding his memory and how many ahadith he had memorized. He was a master in fiqh and in hadith and the different sciences of deen. There comes the day when he becomes an imam of fiqh now. How we see Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, we see Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi. And not only that, he becomes Qadi al-Qudat, the chief justice, chief judge. People will come to him with all their problems. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi gained so much popularity amongst the people through his very wise verdicts he would give and fine judgments according to Quran and Sunnah. Extremely pious, extremely intelligent and wise. So people would come to him with all their problems. And readily he would hear them out and give a correct decision. So on one such occasion, he was at home, and suddenly Harun al-Rashid, who was the king at that time, comes with his wife. Imam Sahab, maaf, we're disturbing you. You got a masala. What's the problem? He said, we have got two desserts prepared at home. Two halwa, bowls of halwa, desserts. One of pistachio, one of almonds. The argument between me and my wife Zubaydah. I'm saying this one is the one which is better, and she's saying the other one is better. I see the one with pistachio, that is better. She's saying the one with almonds is more tasty. You decide. People come with this masala too. Only thing, they don't bring the halwa nowadays. So they come. Imam Abu Yusuf Rahmatullah takes a spoon of the first one with the pistachio, and he takes it. Very delicious, very tasty. Then he takes a spoon of the other one, back to the first one, then to the second one, and he continues, third one, fourth one, enjoying himself. They are looking at him. Harun al-Rashid had to intervene. Imam Sahab, which one is better? Ayyuma atyab. He says, you know, every time I take this first one, it's so delicious. Suddenly the second one starts giving me all the dalils that it is more tasty. So when I taste that, then the first one also starts giving me more dalils. And finally he smiles. And then he tells Harun al-Rashid what Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi ustad had told his mother, a day will come when the king will be sitting next to him and he'll have halwa of pistachio and almonds. Subhanallah. Look at the firasat, the keen eye Allah Ta'ala had blessed Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. And look at the condition, how Allah Ta'ala provides unseen sources. So this is also incident that Hazrat Maulana had mentioned. One more incident that will terminate, inshallah. Hazrat Salim rahmatullahi had originally been sold as a slave for 300 dirhams. But afterwards his pursuit of religious learning reached such an honored status that the king of the time used to come to his door seeking advice. It also happened once that the king was even refused, because Hazrat Salim rahmatullahi alayh was busy. He was preoccupied with his teaching or whatever duties he had. Hazrat Salim rahmatullahi alayh had once been a slave sold for merely 300 dirhams. But his intense desire for knowledge and a connection with Allah Ta'ala increased his worth 100-fold. We find that even the king would come to his door, and the king would seek advice from him. Allah Ta'ala gave him such a maqam that. All this is when the person has true taqwa, and he does it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he turns towards Allah Rabbul Izzat. This connection with Allah Ta'ala is not a weak, it's not a shaky one. It is a strong bond. Any time the person slips, then immediately he turns to Allah, and he makes amends, he makes tawbah, istighfar. He values his time in this world, so that he prepares properly for the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala blesses the person not only in the akhirat, which is the ultimate success, but even the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him such honor, such respect, and sustenance from unknown sources. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu.